comments or rag you, please call KO4NUE.
Quick comment after everybody's finished with their comments.
Well, bud, you got it.
This is mainly directed at you, but the other people on the net might find it interesting. You ready?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
So, strawberries and bananas. Strawberries and bananas can make the best fruit salad that you've ever tasted if you mix it half mayonnaise, Duke's mayonnaise, that's the only kind of mayonnaise there is, and half peanut butter. If anybody hadn't tried that and are able to eat peanuts, they ought to try that. I could eat that fruit salad all day long, and that might put some excitement in your diet there, especially with it being chock full of Duke's mayonnaise. I know how you like that. But Duke's mayonnaise and peanut butter is a fruit salad to die for, especially with grapes in there. Grapes, strawberries, and bananas are the main ingredients, along with that mayonnaise and peanut butter. That's all I got. KO4QOD back to net.
That just goes to show you. You're exactly right. They ain't but one kind of mayonnaise, and that's Duke's. So, I'll have to try that. But that sounds like something. I'll give it a shot and see how it goes. But I appreciate the comment. And all right, Mr. Chris, you got anything else for us, bud?
Not really. I know it don't sound really good, but that mayonnaise and peanut butter, when it gets mixed in there together, is heaven.
Roger that. Well, I'll give it a try, and I'll report back to you and let you know how it was. So I appreciate that. Okay, one more call. Alpha 3 Zulu for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Please call KO4NUE. Before I submit my net report, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for checking into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight. And also would like to personally say what a wonderful community this net is. I also appreciate each station supporting, keeping our community safe and clean. All stations that are monitoring know what I mean. Appreciate you helping us keep garbage out of the net. So with that, I will submit my net report. Please stand by. For NUE for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please stand by for the round table if anybody'd like to hang around. I will now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73s to all on the net, and it has been a real pleasure to be your net controller tonight. This is KO4 NUE, and I am clear.
NUE, KI4LZI.
KI4LZI, KO4 NUE. Anybody else in there, go ahead. This is a round table portion of Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Go ahead. My first call was Andy, so let me grab him real quick, and we'll get right to you, bud. We'll see if we can straighten you out on your radios just a little bit. KI4LZI, go ahead, sir.
Did you hear him when he was on the 2 meters on 195 before Mandel started calling the net?
I think I did. It was so down in the noise, Andy. I'm not sure if it was even him. But let me ask him. KO4WWZ, did you try to check in on the 195 on tonight? Over.
Good. And for some reason, my radio will not transmit on that frequency. I have all the tones and transmit frequency. he said the truth that it was. I think me and Bill, when he grabbed my phone real quick, he mentioned something, and I sent that video to you guys.
I'm sure Mandel will help you get the radio straight. But all right, so let's do this, bud. I know you're tired, but let's real quick see if we can figure out what's going on with your radio. So first thing is let me take a moment, have just a teachable moment here. I know it's late, but let me at least try. So from beginning to end, explain the whole system that makes your radio work. And I'll explain it for you. So let's start at the power supply, then the radio, then the coax, and then the antenna. So that's the whole system, right?
Right.
What we're going to do is I want you to imagine in your head, in your mind, four boxes. And if you need to draw four boxes out on a piece of paper, then that's what I have to do, okay? The first box is the power supply. And then you'll draw a line from that box to the radio. That's the second box. Then from the radio to the coax, that will be your third box. And then from the third box to the fourth box is the antenna. So in other words, there are four components that can be causing a problem here, not counting grounding, okay? So to troubleshoot any system like that, the target is to cut the system in half. Determine where, try to cut that link in half, and we can do that real quick by, does your radio have power? Yes or no?
Yes, it says I'm able to talk to you and hear you.
Well, when he switched over to 443-450 over to the UHF side of that over there, his signal was the strongest I've ever heard his RF signal on the UHF side. It was full quiet, man. And I don't know what to make out of it. Every time he's on 2 meters here, what is 195 or here 610, he's got noise on him. But when he was on UHF there, when he went to UHF, his signal on 443-450 was full quiet, man. And that somewhat stuns me to a degree, so I didn't know if you heard that too or not, Chad, but I did notice that. KI4LCI.
And I was using UHF, I was operating a Motorola radio on UHF that night or might not have something to do with the signal being crystal clear.
I'm not sure about your setup over there, but when I heard that UHF, when it's been anywhere on 2 meters or there, that signal on 440 was the strongest signal I've ever heard you put out on RF, and I was surprised about it. So there, it seems like it's something that's got to do with 2 meters. Why, I don't know, but that's just how it seems to me anyway, for what little I know about the situation. KI4LCI.
4WWZ, KO4NUE. Andy's exactly right. The 70-centimeter side when you checked in was absolutely full quieting. So, that leads to the next question. What is the second block? The first block was the power supply, and we more than likely can rule it out because the radio is powering up. So the second block is what? It's the radio, right?
Between my radio, and if you give me just a second, I will read you what Mandel has told me.
Okay, well, let's do this. Let's try to keep names out of it. You are transmitting right now on the Yaesu. Is that correct, over?
That is correct.
Okay, so how long will it take you to switch over to the Motorola and take the Yaesu out of the equation? Over.
You mean the Motorola radio for 2 meters or the 70 centimeter?
Okay, so you have, all right, let me back up. Do you have a secondary 2 meter radio? Over.
Yes, I have the Regius GM300 that sold me.
Roger that. Okay. So, how long will it take you to take the Yaesu out of the system and plug up the Motorola 2 meter radio? Over.
Probably a long time. I never really pulled the negative and positive ground wires the way that you have, and to be honest, it would take me a while.
When he first come, well, he could been a man. One night when we was at the meeting that day, I remember helping him take some Motorola gear out there. He had one, as he said, for UHF and one for VHF, so I know that he had a backup, also 2 meter Motorola there. This Yaesu that you used, I guess that's something. I wasn't aware that he had it, but I would certainly advise he try another 2 meter radio and see if it makes a difference. So, at some point in time, anyway. KI4LZI.
DTUF and all the other stuff on that Motorola, like I can this. But being heard is important. But just to be honest, I don't think I can do it tonight. Also, when I'm on 195, I don't have the TL activated. That's why I can't transmit there, and I don't know how to activate the TL.
Not familiar with. I know I remember you getting a couple of Motorola's, one for VHF and UHF, then you got what you're using now. Every one of these radios is different in some form or fashion, unfortunately. But the PL's 141.3 on 195, but I was hearing you come in on 195, but it's like it is a lot of times here on 610 where there ain't no tone on them, but you were static and noisy, and if I didn't know your voice, I wouldn't have recognized. But then later on in the net, when you went to 440, I mean, it was like the difference in day and night. Your signal was full scale, full quiet. I ain't heard you on RF that quiet. KI4LZI. Go ahead, Chance.
I know Kiss KO4NUE, so I know you're tired, and you know let's don't violate rule number one, which is don't talk when you're tired. So we're gonna close out with this and say that. So the next block in our troubleshooting is gonna be the radio. There's a couple of caveats that come with that. Okay. Tomorrow, I want you to give me a call, and let's focus on getting the Motorola in place of the Yaesu, and focus on getting the power wires hooked to the power supply. So, well, I just want to say this is a challenge for me because, you know, I can't come in the house. So, that means that this will be the next step in your station, or being in control of your station. If you don't know how to hook up the power wires to the power supply, then I think this is a good time to learn. So that when you learn how to do it, the next time you encounter this problem, you won't have to be so frustrated, because I can tell you're a little bit frustrated. Am I correct?
You are correct. Have you heard from KF4NXY? He told me he's going to be giving you a phone call today.
Yes, sir, I did. I missed his call and tried to call him back, but cannot get in touch with him. But I will try again tomorrow. But let's focus on what needs to happen tomorrow. So after tomorrow, when you get some rest, let's focus on getting the Motorola in place of the Yaesu. But I want you to listen very carefully here to what I'm fixing to say, okay? When we get the Motorola in place, if you don't listen to anything else I say tonight, I want you to listen to this. When we get the radio swapped out, I want you to do a very short test transmission. And that's it. Because if there's something wrong with the coax or the antenna, and it has damaged the Yaesu, we don't want to damage the Motorola. I know what the SWR was when I installed, but something has changed. So let's determine if it's in the radio, and we'll do that by swapping out the Yaesu with the Motorola, and do a short test transmission tomorrow with that. How about that? Over. So last thing I'm going to tell you, bud, frustration comes with the hobby. It just does. And you're feeling frustrated because some of that frustration is that you're probably feeling like you have to depend on other people to come and do. But I have seen you work, and I know you can do it. I know you can do it. But it's okay to have a little bit of help along the way. But I also want you to understand, because I can't come in the house, there's an additional challenge there, but we'll work through it wire by wire. How about that?
Pretty good. Now, the extra power supply cord that I have, just so you know, being able to get the red pieces off of the red and black pieces off of the end to connect it into a power supply make it a little challenging because of my hand.
And that it's a challenge. Trust me, I get it. But this will be. Well, it's gonna sound a little harsh, but it is what it is. And you're gonna have some challenges with this hobby. Period. End of discussion. That's just the way it is. So you have to make a decision. Do I want to continue to use my radio, or do I want to pack things up and hang it up because of some of the challenges that you have? Which one do you want to do?
I want to keep using my radio.
Answer. Okay. So if you've got that to focus on, I want to use my radio, then trust me, there will be something in your mind that says, if I want to do this, I'm going to have to overcome this challenge. And you're going to have some help along the way. So just have a little faith in that. And we will work through getting the wires stripped and how to get them onto the power supply connector. And then we'll go from there. So that'll be our first challenge for tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir.
Do you have the ability? You do. Your cell phone is not an Apple product, right?
Say that there is an app called Duo that works with Apple and Android, and we can do like a FaceTime call with that app. Over.
The ability to Zoom on your phone.
You mean like Zoom in?
The app Zoom ZOOM. Over.
I could probably get that set up.
So, teachable moment here. If I am going to commit to help through the problem, are you going to commit to try? Over. Needed to hear. So tomorrow we'll focus on getting the wires stripped, and we will figure out a way to make that work with your hands. And we will figure out a way, okay? We will do it. You may not like it, but we will do it, and we'll get through this problem. Over.
QSL.
Good job, buddy. I'm proud of you. You're doing a great job. Okay, well, I know you're tired. You're showing you're tired. So I'm going to say 73s to you, and you get a good night's rest. I'll be up on the 610 machine tomorrow, and we'll work through it. Roger that.
73s. And everyone else on frequency, 73C to the analyst and God bless you. Have a good night. I'll listen to them around, take them for a little bit, and until I doze off, and then I won't be listening, I'll be dreaming. Good night, everybody.
Just out of curiosity, what kind of Yaesu transceiver is he using?
KL4NUE, it's a, I believe it's a Yaesu 1890, I think. It was donated. So I'm not sure. I mean, I tested the radio here, not any issues that was reported. But he has reported that he's got the radio pretty hot from running it on high power. So, I don't know if it could be coax is damaged, and, you know, maybe damaged the back of the radio. It could be too hot. It could be the radio itself. I'm not sure, but we'll figure it out and see what we can do to get him, you know, get it figured out.
Well, how old is this radio? You got any idea how old it is?
Not. I know the radio does not. It has not had a lot of use. I know who donated it. I'm gonna say probably less than 10 or 20 hours on it. So, and like I said, I ran a run up here. I talked on it for a day or so from here. So. Something's happened. I'm not sure what, but I'll see if I can help him with it. Over.
Well, I was just curious. I got another one here that I got used years ago. Yaesu 2400H. Let's see. It dates back to the 1993. Mandel done it. You know, it wasn't in working order at the time, and Mandel done some work to it and got it back working again. And it was donated to someone else who used it a while, for two or three years, then I got it back. And I kind of keep it here as my 2-meter radio for the pen, so when I get it back going, and when I get any age on them, you know, things can happen too. But one thing I can say for sure, though, when he was on 440 tonight, though he had a full quieting signal, which he hasn't, I haven't noticed him having on 2 meters, so y'all go ahead and do what y'all need to do. I need to go take my insulin anyway. KI4LZI, clear, and going to take my insulin.
Hey, have a good night, sir. Pleasure talking to you. And I'm going to make one more call. Any other stations around for a roundtable tonight, please call KL4NUE. Over.
KL4 NUE, KK4JBQ. I've just been listening. A fly on the wall, you might say. And sounds like everything's in hand. J Chad, you have a good night's rest. I won't keep you. KK4JBQ.
JBQ. Got a little bit of steam if you want to hang around. I'm good to go. Don't run off unless you need to. Over.
I've got it. If you've got it.
I got it. Let me, I think you doubled with somebody in there, so let me go back up and pick him up. WDARONKO4NUE. Go ahead, sir. Glad to. I'll be glad to give you a call, but I just want to give you a warning. Me and Larry get to going now. We might be up to one or two, so how about tomorrow? Will that work? Over. Larry, do you mind if I take a short bathroom break? Over.
But I just want to mention that I could not hear his side of it, so perhaps he's on the input again. But I will be standing by. KK4JBQ.
WD8RON, can you check your reverse function again, Ed? I got you here just about full scale here in Campobello, which blows my mind. But you are not on the repeater. Over. This is KO4NUE. I'm going to take a short break. Be right back.
Still not getting any more of this, KO4NUE.
K4JBQ, KO4NUE.
JBQ.
Hey, Larry, how you, what's been going on? You doing all right?
I've been doing fine. Not much changed since I talked with you last. Oh, gosh. Yeah, oh, something I didn't mention, but I had a good call with a ham today that I hadn't spoken with him in a while. I heard him check into the net a couple of days ago, I guess it was. And honestly, I thought he had sold all his radios, gotten out of the hobby. He's a little older than me, and so that puts him at a grand old age. And I wondered if he was well, but so I gave him a call, and we had a nice conversation. It was a catch-up, but also it reassured me that he's doing just fine. We ought to keep in touch, you know. I sense that in the club, in Triumph, and that's just a marvelous thing, that group of people want to stay in touch and keep aware of one another. That's a lot to respect, I think.
That, well, let me back up and make a quick comment here and say that, first of all, a lot has changed. That was your initial statement. And I guess referring to QRM on this frequency. So let me just say that, as a matter of fact, there is a lot changed. This QRM has been reduced to having to shortly key the mic or to transmit one or two words, which is exactly where he needs to be, where that interference needs to be pushed down to a level to where there's to where we control the situation. So just want to say that there has been a lot change concerning it. And just want to say, hey, we're kind of proud of that, and we get things narrowed down. KO4NUE, over.
I think you can be proud of that. You and the several others who are working with you. That is. Good work. Good on you and good for them. Makes me proud, you know, that something can be done. You know, you don't just have to roll, you know.
That's, you know, it's kind of nice to hear silence between transmissions. There's two of my favorite things on the radio. That's talking to you and having some silence when we need it. Over.
I would agree with that. You know, I was listening to some chaps up there in North Carolina, Mount Mitchell, and they were having a net, and it was not just entertaining, but it was entertaining. But it was also informative. They got some good things going on up there, and I have to thank you again. That was impossible with the antenna that I had before. I couldn't reach Anderson to my west, and I couldn't reach Mount Mitchell to my north. And they're clear as veil. And I check in on Anderson frequently. And I had in the past, I don't think I've ever mentioned this to you, but I had an Arrow 2-meter 440 antenna up out back here and got called on it. You know, the HOA police wrote me up and so had to take that one down. And this one so far has survived. It looks like a patio ornament. That's the way I have it put up. And it's just a pleasure. And I thank you for that again.
My pleasure. I learned so much from you and Walt. You know, you guys, I got into this hobby. I left the military and said I'd never, ever touch a piece of communication gear again. Here I am. And, I started off with, I got my license with the radio I'm talking now. And talking on now. And now I'm sitting here at I started off with one little corner in the shop with this radio. Took me 4 days to make a contact. And now I am sitting in front of this. I'm not sure what I've built. It kind of looks like an empire. Or Sanford and Son. How about that? You ever watch Sanford and Son? You know, I can't sing on the radio, but you remember the catchy little tune with Sanford and Son?
I'll have to admit that was probably one of my favorites, because the relationships between father and son, it was, I think, rare among any father and son to talk to one another the way they did, and you knew there was respect there. Both sides, you knew there was respect, and I enjoyed it. It was funny, but there were some serious moments, too. I did enjoy it, and I do remember the funky tune.
I think my favorite was Aunt Esther. I mean, she was always on him, and she wasn't going to take no garbage. I do remember a couple times when she softened up a little bit. But Lamont was always my favorite. You know, he was always respectful to his dad. And just a funny show. It just takes me back. But the other thing I was going to tell you, talking about TV shows, was I like to watch YouTube sometimes. And I got on there the other night and ended up down the rabbit hole with YouTube on 70s and 80s commercials. And oh my gosh, how funny is that to see those old commercials that I used to watch as a kid.
Yeah, that's every once in a while Donald and I will get on that too. You probably didn't see them around here, but maybe you did. I don't know how far reaching this particular product was and their commercials. Well, let me just check you out. Do you know of Valleydale Meats?
Had a red sticker, right?
Yeah. But there was no... It was a commercial. It was animated with little pigs. Of course, one of their best-selling products were pork products, you know. So little pigs were there. That was their animation in their commercial. And yes, here again we go with music. So I can't even hum it, I reckon. But they had pigs in a parade. And there was a pig on the float. And there was a pig who was on the float with him, but playing a trombone with that big old thing that slide, you know, on a trombone. And it was sort of animated, you know, like every time the one pig would play a long note, he'd have that slide way out there, and the other pig had ducked, you know, and then he brought it back in, and the other pig would raise up. And out front of them all was a pig that was the leader, I forget what they call it in a band. Anyway, he was the leader, you know, and he had a special hat on and had a cane in his hand, and they called it something else. I was never in a band, so I don't know the proper words. But anyway, it's a catchy tune. I can't even hum it. It's a catchy tune. And so I watched that just recently. Now, it's interesting that you would bring up old-time commercials. But that was local in the area I grew up in, Valleydale Meats. And if you just heard the startup of this song, their theme song, you'd have to only hear a couple of bars, you know, the first 4 or 5 seconds of it, and you'd recognize it. It was that familiar. Interesting you bring that up.
K and 4 VWA.
K and 4 VWA, K and 4 NUE. Go ahead, sir.
A little part of that, it was three little pigs sing merrily, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And I cannot remember the rest of that thing that he's talking about. But there was another one that was pick up a package of Tennessee Pride.
And I remember three little pigs marching. I think they were maybe been carrying some of the meat products or something. But I do remember Valleydale Meats, and remember the sticker was red with white letters, and for some reason the Valleydale Red Hots, that, you know, the little short red hot weenies, kind of stick in my mind. And I'd say that was probably sauerkraut, cornbread, and red hots, because we ate a lot of that growing up.
Yeah, oh well. All of us had to grow up sometime, and we were given a lot by the time we grew up in. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. I wouldn't trade it for what other people show they've got. Not a bit. And I treasure it. There's also another one around here. I do believe this central office for this company is in Texas. I'm having a lapse here, so somebody pick it up.
Station KO4NUE. Go ahead, sir. Okay, I get it. KK4JBQ. Go ahead, sir.
That station was on reverse, too. I did not hear them. Thought of the company. It's Bluebell Ice Cream. They have got a really catchy tune. Now we're talking about music within commercials. But I went to their website, Bluebell Ice Cream website. And they have like seven or eight versions with different vocalists and different lyrics, and it's entertaining. Their commercials are really entertaining. Nice to listen to. I'll just say that. These folks are on reverse chat. Are they part of the crew?
Absolutely. And that's exactly right, over.
Yes, I know. The rest of us will never be able to thank you all individually. Well, I say never, but maybe it'll come out. How much we appreciate the efforts that you're putting in to clean up the airwaves. It's something that we can take a real pleasure in, you know. Sense of accomplishment, that's what you ought to have. KK4JBQ.
Well, let me shift gears here for a second. And so on YouTube video also was, I got off on 1960s, 70s Dodge car commercials. And, oh my goodness, boy, the 70s were, you know, I was born in 72, so 70s must have been, you know, must have been it, because I look at some of those cars, the Charger and the Challenger, and then, you know, I had the ladies there posing with the cars, too, but my goodness, what I'd give to have one of those cars now.
Do y'all remember the Dodge Sheriff?
What, Steve? KL4NUE. KL4NUE, over.
KN4VWA, the Dodge Sheriff.
Not. I do not remember the sheriff, over.
Oh, yeah, they had themselves their own little sheriff, and he would come out there and he'd do the commercials, and he'd say, "We just can't quite catch them."
Like that. Up on Smokey and the Bandit, wasn't it?
I think it was before that. I can't remember.
Decade. The decade of the 70s was the decade of CB radio in the car, and every trucker had a CB radio, and everybody was looking out for Smokey. And that, now that there was an entertaining movie. There would be people who wouldn't like it on whatever their principles are. But I've watched it, five times, and I'm entertained every time. The fellow who was his buddy, oh, gosh, he was a... If you gave him lines, he could speak straight, but he was a stutterer. When he sang... He was a good country music artist, and when he sang, he didn't stutter. When he talked, his lines in the movie, he didn't stutter. Jerry was his first name. Anybody help him?
Country music singer? Mel Tillis.
Okay. Maybe his character name was Jerry. Anyhow... yeah, that was an entertaining movie. It was a good storyline, and Sheriff chased him all across the country. You remember that one, Chad?
I think I do, Larry. I remember Smokey and the Bandit, if that's what you're talking about. I'm afraid I don't know who Mel Tillis is.
That wasn't his name. I thought it was Jerry something or other. But Smokey and the Bandit, if you've seen the movie, then, you know, that's a bigger part of it. And, yeah, maybe it takes a hillbilly like me to, you know, to appreciate. I like to think there are some pluses for being a hillbilly.
Jerry Reed, KO4QOG.
You got it, Jerry Reed.
For NUE. How about this one? I get MeTV. you know. And on Sundays, Charlie's Angels. And let me comment on Charlie's Angels. You know, you got the three angels that work for Charlie. And, you know, all three of them carry a snub nose 38. And neither one of them shoot. But they always seem to hit the target somehow. So that's I was watching it a couple weeks ago up at the deer camp. And $6 Million Man, that's my favorite. The Bionic Woman. And there was another one. I can't ever get it right, but I think it was Benninger or Banninger, Banniford. I can't remember. I don't remember it, but I remember it came on last Sunday. And Banniford, I think that's what it was. And, man, I like that show. I've never seen it before, but it's from the 70s, I think. But I think it's Banniford.
That I don't think I ever saw. How about this one? Secret Agent.
Don't remember Secret Agent. Don't remember that one. How about Shock Theater? You remember that one?
I remember the Shock Theater every Saturday. But, hey, I remember Secret Agent. That was Patrick McGoohan, and that was back in the 60s. Remember that big ball that would chase him down the beach?
You and I are probably a little older than some others, but, yes. I can't remember who the instrumentalists were who played on the theme song. But they were quite good in the period, you know. That song was on the radio. It played on the radio, the theme song to Secret Agent. Was it The Ventures?
No, it was Johnny Rivers, Secret Agent Man.
Rivers, that's right, that's right. Well, okay. So, old TV, yes, and I watched most of those in the 50s and the 60s and half of the 70s. I watched them black and white.
For you, and they had it on this weekend in a binge on one of the streaming services. Do you remember Hawaiian Eye?
Well, of course, that was. It was a forerunner to Hawaii 5-0, which was quite good. I liked that one. Quite a serious cop show. Do you remember Hawaii 5-0, Chad?
Was that Telly Savalas, I think? If not, how about Fantasy Island?
Telly Savalas was Kojak.
For the Fantasy Island, that was pretty good. It was a serial. It had a real good basis. Every week, every episode was a different group of people that visited the island, and there was a different mystery to solve. Yeah, and that was, oh gosh, I can't remember his name. The fellow with the limp and the star of the show. You, somebody, help me.
Montalban.
Ricardo Montalban. And do you remember this, Chad?
No, sir, I don't. I'm sorry, but y'all go ahead. I mean, I'm learning.
Chad's still wet behind the ears.
Younger, that's all, but you've got so much to explore, to discover. Ricardo Montalban was he owned the island, and he was the one that in the beginning, in the opening, and then there was, he dressed in a white suit, kind of a plantation suit, anyway, and a little fellow, a little short stature fellow. And but he would always say, the plane. And I don't know, that's just part of it. But Ricardo Montalban played Khan in one of the Star Trek episodes, in the Search for Khan, I think might have been the second Star Trek movie.
Hey, do you remember what else he did as far as commercials? He did the Chrysler commercials. Remember the rich Corinthian leather?
Yeah, he was quite good. And, oh, goodness. That also, his character came back to do, I forget what they call it in theater, to star again as Noonien Khan, or, you know, there was a period in Earth's future as we, you know, from our timeline, in a period in Earth's future when improving the human being was genetic manipulation, and it ran away wild, and it was a huge worldwide catastrophe. But these people who were genetically altered, Khan being one of them, and perhaps a leader of one of the factions, was stronger and smarter than your average bear. And so serious was this uprising of the genetically altered humans that they put that fella on a spaceship and sent him out and froze him, you know, put him in suspended animation and froze him and shot him out into the universe. Later on, Captain James T. Kirk found him and thawed him out. That was a great episode.
So, KO4NUE. So, I'm not sure I recall that one either, Larry. I do remember Kojak, and just roughly though, but just remember his bald head. I think he had a bald head that's sticking in my mind for some reason. But I remember Telly Savalas being such a strange name. But I do remember Kojak.
Remember Steve McQueen's first TV run?
Movie. Not sure, maybe Kojak wasn't a prime guy, but maybe he was. James somebody played the main character, and I'm blanking. But he was a private eye, and he lived, I think, on a boat. Somebody help me.
For Steve McQueen's first TV series?
Rifleman, right?
Now, that was Chuck Connors. I'm talking about Steve McQueen, the King of Cool.
But, it's not coming, though. No. All right, so spring it on me.
Wanted, dead or alive. He was a bounty hunter.
But he was one of the good guys that you did not mess with. You did not mess with that good guy.
Oh, when I was a kid, I just loved him.
We just fell over into talking about vintage TV. And it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to reminisce. And from commercials to main feature television shows. How about that? Let's see. I'll put my thinking cap on here.
Pick it up. Buck Rogers in the 25th Century. How about that one?
He was hot.
Buck Rogers is... I may have seen an episode or two, but that one didn't catch me and hold. But there was one with Lauren Green in it. He played, the character name was Adama, or Adama, I think it was. Kind of a variant on Adam. What was that?
Galactica.
Galactica. Have you seen that, Chad?